26 before the hour. Good morning. It's John and Glenn Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. How many times have you said in the last 6 months since the COVID-19 pandemic has started, I wish I could get back to the new normal? What's the new normal going to be like? I wish we could go back to where we were. And how many times have you said that in your parish community? Because worship now is a lot different than it was before we started the pandemic and limited the number of worshipers in church. So what's the parish going to look like in a post-COVID-19 world? Marcel Lejeune has some very bold views of what your parish may look like in a post-COVID-19 world, and they're good ones. Marcel is the president and the founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, a Catholic apostolate, which works with Catholic leaders who form missionary disciples, who in turn make missionary disciples. Joining us from College Station, Texas. Good morning, Marcel.
Good morning.
What's the parish going to look like in the future? It's disturbing right now when you go because, you know, we've got a limit of 100 in our parish. Others, you have to call for reservations, and it's anywhere, depending on the size of the facility, between 25 and 75 worshipers, and it's just not the way we used to worship.
No, and, you know, the limits that COVID-19 has brought upon the parish certainly have been a burden upon, I think, all of us as members of the church. And it's been a burden on the leaders who have had to make tough decisions. And it's a very difficult situation. And, of course, I don't think anybody out there would have wished this upon the church in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, there also is a seed of hope. And here's the seed of hope. It's that God wants to do something big with this because he sees it more as an opportunity than a threat to his church. And this is how I frame this, is that the Lord wants to do something big, and he's not going to waste this opportunity.
And we have to pray for that instead of just sitting and saying, oh, we got to get back to the new normal. And it's a phrase that I'm trying to remember who says it. But we've borrowed it. It's one of the priests we have on the show. It's Father John Gordon, who said, no, we need to work to a better normal. And in working to a better normal, that speaks to the point that you have made, that God wants us to do something big.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, is that there's no going back, right? I mean, just as a truth, we know we can't go back in time. And I think it's okay to say once in a while, I wish things were back to normal. I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily. But I think what God really wants of us is not how do we go back, but how do we go forward? And then to look at the situation and say, this is not so much a threat, but an opportunity, and God wants to do something in it. And so now we have to figure out, what does God want to do with it? And then we look at our parishes and we look at ourselves and we say, okay, if this is an opportunity to go forward and to make changes that are necessary, how can I start to do this? As a Catholic leader of a parish, whether that's a pastor or a lay leader or whoever else, we need to start making some tough decisions and say, okay, where did our parish, where did our diocese, where did our organizations not reach the world with the gospel, not fulfill the mission of the Catholic Church, not reach the other folks? And I think in some ways we did have a tendency in many of our institutions to be insular, to not have that missionary-minded thing in everything that we did. Of course, the mission was always there, but sometimes we just fall into these institutional mindsets where we're maintaining the institution itself. And that's kind of a natural momentum, I think, that hits any kind of organization. We've got bills to pay, and, you know, we've got to maintain things, and we've got to keep it running. But we forget that the institution doesn't exist for itself. It exists for the salvation of the world and to advance what Jesus Christ has given us. And so here's where the tough thing happens, is when we have to try to make decisions to go forward. And that's on an institutional level. On an individual level, you know, this is also difficult, right? I mean, if anybody's ever tried to make a change to their habits, you know, change is difficult. But the question really is not, you know, what do I want to do, but what does God want to do in this situation? And I think that's really a tough question to answer, but it's also an important one, because I think that's how the Lord starts to work within us in this situation.
And maybe you're having those conversations in your parish about what the parish community will look like in a post-COVID-19 world. Feel free to share them with us with Marcel Lejeune this morning at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And as we talk about this vision for a Catholic parish in a post-COVID-19 world, foremost on the minds of most pastors right now, ones we speak to here on Morning Air, is just bringing people physically back into church. How do you do that? That's the first obstacle that we have to get around.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, as Catholics, we have this incarnational reality, right? That, and it informs everything else that we do as Catholics. The incarnation, of course, was what Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, God comes down to earth and takes on our own humanity, right? And part of that is so that he can be with us. He's present to us physically. And we are made in God's image and likeness. We have bodies, and we're meant to be with each other, the church, together. We're meant to have a physicality, this physical reality that exists in space and time. And we need to admit that, right? That's why we miss our friends that we haven't seen. I mean, not this past weekend, but a week ago, got to see my parents for the first time in 7 months. That's difficult when you can't see family or friends for an extended amount of time. And I know some people have gone longer. And it's a difficult thing, and let's admit that. And there's a need in the community of the parish to be together. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't be a community without being together in some way, shape, or form. So to bring people back, we have to have some kind of plan, and it might have to have a scaling to it, right? It looks like things aren't going to happen all at once. I mean, here in Texas, our governor has started to open things up a little bit more. So now our percentages are rising of things like, instead of a 25% capacity, it's gone up. So now we have these different kind of things that are going to happen. But the reality is it's going to be difficult. It's going to be slow. It's going to be painful. And when people start coming back, the other thing is, we have to plan on the fact that there are some people who aren't going to just come back by themselves. We have a number of folks who may have gotten into, you know, this mindset and habit of, well, I don't go to church anymore. And that means, as the rest of us who are Mass-going Catholics, who want to return to Mass or have returned to Mass, we have to have an eye out for who's not here with us. This would be a post-COVID church needs to be more missional and understand that our mission sometimes even extends to those people who may have been beside us in Mass a year ago and no longer are.
So this is all away. Yeah, and this is also the time, Marcel, that if we kept our faith to ourselves, is to post something on social media to say that you were at Mass, something that you heard Father say in the homily, something that happened. And so that's a way for us shy people, at least, to take that first step into being a missionary church, is to use at least our social media platforms for the good, the true, the beautiful, to reach those souls who have not yet come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, you know, it's real easy for us to overthink, I think, evangelization sometimes, to think it's got to be some kind of grandiose big thing. But it could be as simple as knowing that somebody was already kind of on the fence about whether they were going to go to Mass before COVID started. And now you're thinking, well, that might have been the tip that sent them over the edge and they're no longer going to go. And you could be the tip to send them back. If you were just to pick up the phone or send them a text and say, hey, I'm going to Mass finally for the first time in 8 months. Would you want to go with us? You know, and those are the kind of easy things I think that we can do as evangelists, as missionary disciples. It doesn't take us being in the streets and rah, rah, rah. It just takes using the natural relationships we already have and starting to think intentionally through them. How can I share my faith with others around me who either need their faith strengthened, renewed, or they need to have faith in the first place? And these are the kind of things that sometimes we are afraid of as individuals, because we're afraid of the reaction, or we're afraid that somebody might say no. But think of the implications if they were to not go back to church. And those are the kind of things, it's difficult, of course. And there might be some fear there, of course. But it's always best for them. And that's where love really starts to help us as evangelists to say, how can we move forward? Because our first responsibility, of course, is to love the Lord, to love our God, and then to love others. And if we make our decisions based on that, I think a post-COVID-19 church and parish and you and I, in fact, as Catholics, we can do better. And that's what I think the Lord's really using this opportunity for, is to make us better disciples.
Marcel, it has been good to see, as churches open up further and further again, that mass attendance is increasing. But as far as the being able to be fired up for the faith and fire others up, as opposed to, you know, just gradually, carefully coming back, do we need to allow for some of those grassroots efforts? My parish actually has a lay-led prayer group that meets safely distancing in the parking lot on Wednesdays. This was an effort of their own to want to get together and do something.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that we have to remember is that the laity has been given a special dignity to be the voice and the feet and the hands of Jesus Christ in the world, right? The clergy is there to strengthen the laity for the mission. And so we can't necessarily wait for a program at our parish, because it's shut down mostly, and we're going to have to do these things ourselves in our homes, in our workplaces, and if necessary, in the church parking lot. You know, because right now we have so many restrictions, we have to be creative. And that creativity should not stop once post-COVID-19. Once this whole pandemic is slowed down or is done, we need to remain a creative church that has mission on our mind. And that mission mindset can help us to see, okay, who is part of our mission? Well, that's the world. And who? What is my mission? It's to go and help make disciples, and then to help make those disciples people who will go out and make other disciples. And that's my job, that's your job, that's the church's job. And to do that, of course, takes creativity, because the things that worked 100 years ago in our parishes may not work today with the people who are far from God.
With Marcel Lejeune this morning, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, we're talking about what your parish and mine will look like in a post-COVID-19 world, and what you and I have to do to make sure that the parish is there thriving in a post-COVID-19 world. Some of the seeds that we can plant today. Janice is joining us in La Crosse, Wisconsin, 888-914-9149. Janice, good morning. You're on with Marcel Lejeune. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John and Father. Wonderful. I just wanted to make a comment about, for me at least, going to the shrine in La Crosse, the shrine in Guadalupe. But anyway, the priest, John, was speaking yesterday about the Ten Commandments and about abortion and, you know, contraceptives. I mean, he went through like a catechesis thing. I mean, a complete lecture up there, and I'm like, I'm loving this. I said, because we've never heard it, you know, we haven't even heard that. And he even made a comment the week before about why, because I don't understand why men wear shorts to church, you know, and why women are so revealing it in certain, you know, your attire. I said, oh, please, I thought of that so many times, but yep, Nobody's ever mentioned it. And I said, you know, now's the time to live our faith, to get out there. People should be starting to, we don't have to wear a mask there. You're totally freed up. You're free. You're free to go. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. So for me, it's wonderful. You walk up there, you're in outdoors, you're in air. It's all, you know, we're alive. We're vibrant. We can just keep living our faith. And to me, in this election year, are you serious? I mean, the way he said it, like Father Altman already said something here. It's like, if you're Catholic, you know, you're for life. Who are you going to vote for? This is a huge election. Start living your faith, Catholics. You know,
you raise some good points, Janice. And, you know, perhaps this is an opportunity here from the Holy Spirit to really get back to some catechesis, to kind of hit the reset button, as it were, Marcel.
Yeah, and we know from a fact that a lot of people don't know the content of the faith, right, the doctrines of the faith. And so it is an opportunity for us. And we always want to start with the fact that we have Catholics who have fallen in love with Jesus, and that person who has fallen in love with Jesus wants to know about the faith. And then they start to absorb it, right? They start. It's like a dry sponge that wants the water. And that's what happens when somebody falls in love with Jesus. And because they absorb it, they keep it, and then they start to live by it. And that really is the point of our catechesis, right? Is to have transformed lives. And a transformed life of a disciple really is an attractive thing.
And we know in our life with Jesus, in our romance with Jesus, we don't stand still. We move forward. We go backward in our faith lives. We know that. So why do you think we want to go back or just stay where we are in our parishes and not move forward?
Yeah, I think it's a familiarity and a comfort level. It's, you know, because we do have such good things. I mean, think about the times when you were in a packed mass with all kinds of people, and everybody's singing, and everybody's reverent, and things are going well, and Father has a good homily, and you leave, and you have this spiritual experience that was so wonderful, and you had it with other people. It was shared.
Right.
That's what church is supposed to feel like, right? That's what our worship, that's what our mass and our liturgy is meant for, is reverence, and it's supposed to raise our hearts up to heaven and to bring us into this relationship with God. It's supposed to unite us in communion. Those are the things that are supposed to happen, and we just don't have those kind of experiences, in a sense, when we miss all these people. But it's okay, because the grace is still present, and God is still powerful, and we still have our hope. It's just up to us to be bold and faith-filled and move forward to whatever the Lord has, even if it includes a cross that sometimes hurts.
Some of the key ingredients in building our parishes for the future in a post-COVID-19 world, Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, and Laura joining us in LaGrange, Illinois at 888-914-9149. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me. My comment was, you had mentioned that a lot of people, we've got to get them to come back, and maybe they aren't going to come back. I have a couple of friends that are just not coming back, at least for the moment. And I think that, you know, our church basically told us not to come for 3 months. I was so upset. I felt totally abandoned by my church, because the doors were locked down. I couldn't find a priest on a phone if I, you know, no matter what. I mean, it was a very, very traumatic time. So I'm thinking, how do we get, I mean, I'm going back now, and thank God my church was one of the earlier ones to open up at the beginning of June. But, you know, it's like, to get these people back, it's almost like there needs to be some kind of an apology. You know, we're so sorry that we felt we needed to close the churches for 3 months. A lot of us feel that it was too long, that they were closed too long, that they needed to come up with the protocols they have today earlier than they did. To not have Easter Mass, Easter Triduum, I mean, it was like really, we've all went through that, right?
Exactly. But really we were also in the, and just to be pragmatic for a moment, we were in the height of the pandemic, and those numbers were just absolutely skyrocketing. So together we were learning about what life is going to be like in a pandemic. And it hurt our parish communities not to be open, and our pastors not to share Easter and the liturgies with us. So, there's that, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. There are no winners and losers, quote unquote, in this conversation, Marcel.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, hindsight's 2020, and I bet a lot of our Catholic leaders, the bishops included, would probably look back and go, man, I wish I'd known all of
right.
that stuff
right.
that we know now.
Right.
And that's okay. What we have to do as followers of our leaders is we don't necessarily have to agree with all of their decisions in the moment. We have to be obedient. And that's part of being a follower of Jesus Christ, is we don't have to understand everything that's going on at the moment. We have to be obedient, as long as these are moral and good things they're trying to lead us to, right? So our bishops did their best for the most part. And yeah, they're looking back and hopefully learning from maybe a few mistakes or maybe... Mm-hmm. you know, decisions that they wish they could change. And that's okay. They're men who are fallible, just like you and I, and they've been given the grace to lead, though, and that's what we have our hope in. It's not necessarily in the person, it's in the grace. It's in the office of the bishop and the clergy, right? And so the church gives us an assurance that our obedience is actually fruitful in our lives as disciples. So when looking at these things, I wouldn't look back and go, man, I wish they would have done this and I wish I would have done that. That's looking back again. Just look forward and say, okay, yeah, maybe they should have made some other decisions. Now, mm-hmm. how can we make good decisions in the moment right now, because that's all that we control? And how can I help those people who aren't going back to Mass right now? And if I know them and I know they're not going back to Mass, now's an opportunity, and there is some responsibility there, because Father may never know that that person has not come back. He may not even know that they were there in the first place. You know, the person who sits quietly in the back pew that you might know, but may never have introduced himself to the priest. That's our responsibility as Catholics. We share that as members of the church. So let us be the ones who go to them. Let us be the ones who invite. Let us be the ones who pray for them by name and reach out to them and encourage. That's really where I think we can help, in a sense, that person.
Right. And it's also going to be interesting, and we'll know at the beginning of October, because all through this month of September, as we reported last week on Morning Air, the dioceses across the state of Wisconsin are lifting the dispensation of Sunday obligation. So you now have to go back to Mass to just see what the numbers are going to be like in the parish communities all across the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, in a few hours, I'm going to be speaking to the priest of the Diocese of Madison. And I got to tell you, you know, there's a lot of issues that our priests and our pastors and our bishops are dealing with right now. And so let's make sure we're praying for those men who are making difficult decisions and trying to do their best for the most part. I mean, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They've suffered right alongside us. No priest that I know of is happy that his church is either empty or one quarter full.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. So let's pray for them that they have the fullness of the Holy Spirit to guide them to make tough decisions, but also to be bold in the way they do so.
Amen. With Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, looking at what your parish will be like in a post-COVID-19 world. Patty is in Yakima, Washington this morning. Patty, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Hi, good morning, guys. I was just calling to make a comment. Like, I understand everybody, you know, including myself, upset that, you know, the church is closed down. You know, we were left without going to, you know, a church for, you know, prayer for this whole thing. But also, I have to understand that we were all learning through it. Nobody sat and planned for a pandemic. I don't think anybody was, you know, expecting it. So, you know, we got to, you know, have our prayer in church and pray, for, you know, at our house. Pray for our fathers, you know, and because it's all new to them, too. I honestly don't think anybody would have wanted to close down the church if it was possible.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
You know, through God, we would all get through this, you know, and, you know, they're doing a lot more work than we know behind, you know, behind the scenes trying to get everything open. You just got to be patient.
Yeah, absolutely, and thank you for that, because I think this is another just word of encouragement that we also we need to support our pastors and our priests as much as we can, because if you think about it, a lot of those guys were even more isolated than you and I were during the lockdown, when, you know, people were having to isolate and do these things. Well, many of the priests nowadays live alone, having to be in a rectory by themselves. So let's make sure that we're supporting them. Being kind and generous, and also remembering that they're struggling under things like the weight of debt a lot of times from their parish communities, trying to lead into a place where the collections are down, having to lay off staff. These are tough decisions, and our leaders need our prayers.
Patty, just before you go, how are you doing with the smoke from the wildfires in Oregon? Are you okay in Yakima?
You know what? It finally cleared up this weekend. It was really good. I mean, it's not as clear as it has been, but definitely more breathable.
Well, thanks be to God for that, and thanks for adding to the program this morning, Patty, in Yakima, Washington. You raise a good point, Marcel. We've got about 90 seconds remaining about the financial aspect of this, because that really is the reality that's going to hit home for many of us, be they in parishes that were fairly comfortable and those that were struggling.
Yeah, and we have to plan for the fact that the closings, the mergers, and things like that are not done,
right.
And this may have sped up some of those things. So I'd hate to be a bishop who has to make that decision, right? Hate to be a pastor who has to make a tough decision. So let's have some, we don't have to agree with all the decisions, the practical things that are going to happen, but let's make sure that we're being merciful in the fact that these are tough decisions and kind in the way we react to them, because if we're not, then that just reflects back upon the church itself and us. And as just followers of Jesus Christ, he's asked us to be salt and light to the world. And that's a big responsibility for us.
We're hopeful that we have planted a couple of seeds, courtesy of the Holy Spirit, to help you take to your parish to look forward to what the parish community will be like we pray that it's one that's stronger from a faith standpoint and also a financial standpoint in a post-COVID-19 world. Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, online at CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com. Marcel, thanks for leading us in the conversation.
Yes, God bless everybody.
Tomorrow on Morning Air, Father Rocky will be here. We'll go to the Twin Cities, spend some time with Archbishop Bernard Hebden. Stand by because Patrick Madrid is coming up next, minute before the hour now, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.